Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans chapter 12, if you would. The book of Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read in a few different places here tonight. Romans 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and lastly 1 Peter 1 and 22. Three different portions of Scripture. I know that kind of is jumping around a little bit. All of it's there in the New Testament, of course. And I've tried to keep them in order, too. So go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. And again, 2 Corinthians 6 and 6, and lastly, 1 Peter 1 and 22. Romans 12 and verse 9, this is what it reads. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. I want you to focus on the first portion of verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Without hypocrisy, without anything that is fake. Basically, that's saying, let love be authentic. Look there, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, and by love unfeigned. That word unfeigned there is the same meaning as dissimulation. It means it's authentic and pure and without hypocrisy. Look there, if you would, in 1 Peter 1 and 22, our last little verse we're going to read there, 1 Peter 1 and 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Again, notice about midway through that verse, it speaks truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Again, love without hypocrisy. I want to talk to you tonight about unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. I want you to pray with me if you would. Lord, have your way tonight. We thank you, God, for your goodness and all that you do for us tonight, dear Lord. Lord, I love this church. I love these people, Lord. And God, if you'll help us tonight just to share from the verses that we've read here tonight, God, about that unfeigned love, about that love that is pure, that agape love, dear Jesus. And I love you tonight, God. I love this church. Once again, I just want you to help us. Help us share what's on our hearts. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And everybody said, amen. So again, love without dissimulation, love unfeigned, and then unfeigned love. And I want to talk to you about that phrase tonight, unfeigned love. Now, I don't know about you, that was not a word we used in the Jones household growing up. I didn't talk too often about unfeigned love. But when I read the Bible, especially in the King James Version, you often or occasionally, excuse me, you come across that word. You would remember that Timothy's mother and grandmother had the unfeigned faith, which means her faith was authentic. It was assembled. It was put together, if you would. And I was reading about this word unfeigned a little bit. And actually, I didn't know much about it other than what I've read over the years. But I learned this, and by way of study, the word feign actually means to pretend or give a false appearance. Thus, when we say unfeigned, we mean that love here is genuine and sincere love as opposed to that love which would be hypocritical, fake, or shallow. So here tonight, when we are talking about unfeigned love, we are talking about that kind of love that is sincere, that kind of love that is authentic. And as you know, and we read the Bible, that word we find in the New Testament time and time again, this is talking about agape love. Now, you know, agape love is that amazing godly love, that unconditional love that should be in the hearts of every believer. I thought about this by way of study. I hadn't really read into it very much, but I asked myself the question. I thought to myself, is it possible for a sinner to show agape love? Is it possible for them to do that? And by way of study of Scripture, what I have found out is no, it is not possible. Why is that? Because agape love is something that is deposited into the life of the believer. It is nothing that you are just naturally there within you. It is something, now look, you may have philia love, and you may have eros love, and you may have different kinds of the Greek words that would describe these loves, but agape love is something that is unique to those who are followers of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Derek, do you have any verses to back that up? And I do here tonight. It tells us in Romans 5, in chapter 5 and verse 5, it says this, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Here it's talking about the agape love of God. And here notice it said it is shed abroad in our hearts. Where does it come from? By the Holy Ghost. And then you go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, and it tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit, what's that first fruit, if you would? It is love. It is agape love. So we understand by way of reading of the Scriptures that agape love is something that is worked in us by God Himself, by the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. So look, I understand that before you were saved, you had natural love. Maybe you had love for your fellow man. I remember, I think it was last year, I went to camp meeting down in Washington, North Carolina, and Brother Bill Prescott actually preached a whole week on the subject of love. And I remember he said something that was pretty interesting when he was talking about love and this natural love, if you would. He said, no doubt, even in the Second World War, you had Germans who would say that they loved their countrymen enough to obey and follow the laws and the rules of Hitler. But did they have agape love? He said, no. He said, no doubt some of them German Nazis would have went home tonight and would have kissed their wife and would have kissed their children and would have levels of natural affection. He said, but they did not have agape love. How do you know? Because agape love would not let you act that way and live that way. So I would have you to understand by way of introduction here tonight, when we are talking about love and we're talking about agape love, it is something that is distinct and unique to the believer. And brothers and sisters, Lord, help us to live and operate in such love. I've got some room I can grow in this. I know it's there because I love you with a godly love. I want you to prosper in the Lord. I want the lost to be saved. I want the world to know about Jesus. But I've asked the Lord by way of studying this week, I said, Lord, I want to apply this even better in my own life. I want to show forth the agape love of God to my brothers and sisters, and hear this, even to my enemies as well. Amen. I love to do that even for my enemies. I want them to see and know the difference between me and that which is not in the fold of God's sheepfold, if you would. Let's look number one here tonight. I'm going to walk through these three different verses. I'm going to treat them as three different points here tonight. But I want you to look first there at Romans 12 and 9. And you would notice what it says there. It tells us, let love be without dissimulation. Now again, I think it's so important that when we are studying these verses in the Bible, that we give some context to what we are saying. You would find in Romans chapter 12, after Paul had given such a wonderful discourse about doctrine and about sin and about salvation and about sanctification, and there in Romans chapter 12, he challenges us to do that which is reasonable, which is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. But then he goes down in verses 9 through 13, and he's going to show us a summary of the Christian life. If you are a born-again believer, these are some things that should be in your life. And the first thing he talks about, he begins to mention some different duties that we have towards ourselves. This is how we should live. This is how we should operate. And the first thing he puts at the top of that list is this, let love be without dissimulation, or with it that which is unfeigned, or without hypocrisy. The Apostle Paul is saying here that you don't need to have a half-hearted kind of love. He is referring to a love that is cleansed from all self-fulfillment and self-desire, but this is a love that we have because we love God first and we love our neighbors as ourselves. This isn't just the fake smile, if you would, that you put on and you tell somebody I love you, but you don't really mean it from your heart. But this is that sacrificial kind of love. This is that love that looks around at the church and says, what can I do for the kingdom of God? What can I do for this local church? Amen. I'm going to preach to you in the next coming weeks, and I may get pretty close by way of application, but when I am gone and I've left this church and I'm gone up the road, you don't have a right to quit serving the body of Christ. You don't have a right to say, look, my work here is done. You better pray and find out what God wants you to do. You better say, Lord, how can I love my brothers and sisters at Abundant Life Tabernacle and help them through a difficult season? Look, I know there's sadness and all of us are feeling that, but you still got a duty, and I'll tell you, Hampton, Virginia still needs a church that is full of agape love and that is a shining light and a beacon in this community. Let the love of God continue in your hearts. Continue to serve one another. Continue to serve the brethren. Continue to come to church. Continue to give in the offering. Continue to do what God wants you to do. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Let it be by true affection. Let God be the author of the love in your heart. But notice this in Romans 12 and 9. If you truly love unfeigned, there's going to be some operations in your life, right? If I truly love as I should, look at the second part of verse 9. I'm going to abhor that which is evil. I cannot have true agape love if I love that which is evil. Somebody say amen. This command to abhor that which is evil logically follows the first command to love without dissimulation. If you love God with all your heart and you love your neighbor and fellow Christians, you're going to hate what is evil, because evil stains the fellowship and evil hurts the body of Christ. If you really love God and love your neighbor, you're going to hate that which is evil. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 97 and 10. Ye who love the Lord hate evil. So notice this, loving God and participating in evil is absolutely opposed to each other, because God is holy and He can't tolerate sin. So you and I must understand that true holiness and true love is going to hate that which is evil. So this kind of love hates evil, but notice this, it clings to that which is good. Amen. Not only if you really have love without hypocrisy are you going to shun and you're going to abhor and despise that which is evil, but you're also going to find that which is good and you're going to cling to it. This idea of clinging here is the same word that is used for the marriage bond. It is something that is together and stuck together and forms a very special bond. The believer and the believer in goodness ought to embrace one another. Amen. If you really love your neighbor and you love God, you're going to hate evil and you're going to love good. But notice in verse 10, it continues on. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. I want you to follow this preacher here tonight. He moves into a different kind of love. He says, look, we ought to have agape love, which is godly and unique to the believer. But then he goes on and says this, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, filios love here, or storge love, which means like love for a family member. My kids ask me every now and then, why do you call them brother if you ain't related? I said, but we are related. Why do you call so-and-so sister? I said, because we are a part of the family of God. Amen. You know what makes it sad? When there has to be times of departing, I'll tell you what it is. I love you as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I appreciate you as a family. And I mean that with all of my heart. I have agape love for you, and I've got agape love for the world. Amen. I want to see them saved. But I'm telling you right now, I have a family love for you as well. And I love you as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I appreciate you, and I care about you, and I want the best for you. Just like I want the best for my mommy and daddy, and I want the best for my own family, I want the best for your family as well. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you go forward. And so notice here, we ought to have this brotherly love. We ought to have affection for one another. And we ought to, hear this, prefer one another. That's a little tough sometimes, isn't it? Because many times, somebody likes their own preference. I'll be honest. You got a certain paint color you like? You like that paint color. But what if somebody else likes a different paint color? Can you still go to heaven together? I hope so. And good mercy, if you got to vote about paint colors, we don't do that here. We settle that on the church board. We don't bring that out here. Amen. We know how tough it is to come to agreement among six or seven about a paint color. But I'll tell you this right now. If I like this color and somebody else likes this color, and we have to take a vote, and I end up on the minority end of the vote, do I have the right to get upset and stomp around? No, no, no. It's just a paint color. What I'm saying is, that's comical, but it's true that some divide over the most foolish of mess. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, let us prefer one another and let us love one another and treat each other as family. This is what it means to have the fellowship and the unity of the Spirit. We want to be unified and we want to prefer one another. Our second section here about the unfeigned love of God in our lives is in 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 6. You remember a few minutes ago I talked about loving your enemies? Now here's the paradox of ministry. Let me share this with you. And I've experienced this in my own life. And if you didn't know this, I'm about to teach you something they don't teach you in seminary, all right? Listen to this. Ministers of the gospel can be some of the most respected people you ever meet, or some of the most hated people you ever meet. And I have experienced the fury of the hate. And I've also experienced the warmth of the love. And a minister would be crazy to assume that there's something special because somebody says, we appreciate you, I love you. Look, I appreciate everybody honoring the office of a minister. But I remember this and I know this. Just as many of you here love me, I'm sure I can find some out there in the world that would not love me as such. So the paradox of ministry is this. Some are going to love you and some are going to hate you. That's even the paradox of being a believer in general. Some are going to love you and some are going to hate you. And the Apostle Paul experienced this in his apostolic ministry. Here it is in the book of 2 Corinthians. He is having to speak into a certain situation where the Apostle Paul is having to defend himself against all sorts of false accusations. They are accusing the Apostle Paul of being the self-appointed prophet. They are accusing him of being greedy and selfish and having some sort of vainglory and aggrandizement where he's trying to build his own kingdom. And the Apostle Paul, who does not normally do this, is going to step up and is going to defend himself, not for his own self-worth, but he's going to defend himself because he wants the Corinthians to know that, look, I've been an example unto you, and you need to understand there's lies being spread about me, and there's some things that he said to them that he wants them to understand who he is and what he has done. That's what you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When you look at verse 3, it says this. He's talking to them about things that he has done and some of his example of him and his fellow co-laborers in the ministry. He says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. He says, I haven't done anything for you to look at me and to say, look, he's caused an offense unto the ministry. He goes on in verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, notice what he says. He says, in much patience. Paul says, I've been a patient man. And how many agrees he was patient when you read through the epistles? He says, and also in afflictions, he suffered much. Here he is walking across the country to come and tell them about the kingdom of God. In necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Notice, by pureness of knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, and listen to what he says, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. You know what Paul was telling them? He says, look, I have loved you with a genuine love. I have not come here. I have not done anything into where you would be able to throw anything at me and say, look, you've done this wrong. He said, I've tried my best to do it right. And so he says to them, my love has been genuine. Me and my brethren, we have done everything we can to live with this unfeigned love. But he goes on to say, yet he says this, we have been treated as imposters. How many agrees with me? Nothing hurts. Well, there's a lot of things hurts in life. But one of the great pains of life is when you've been faithful and somebody falsely accuses you of something. Has anybody ever had some level of that in your life? It hadn't happened to me in abundance, but I have had it happen. Where you get word that somebody has said something about you that simply is not true. And the person that said it, you have done everything you can do to maintain a good, healthy relationship with them. And not saying that you're something special above anybody else, but you've tried to do what's right. You tried to dot the I's and cross the T's if you would. And you were careful with your words and you repented when you needed to. And you apologized when you needed to. But there, all of a sudden, somebody's calling you an imposter. I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of the Apostle Paul. He goes to Corinth. He has suffered much. I mean, he has been beaten. He's got stripes and shipwreck and all the things he's been through to come there and tell them and show them the gospel. He's invested and he's labored, and all of a sudden he gets word that so-and-so in the church and so in Corinth has said, you know what? The Apostle Paul is an imposter. Can you imagine the wounds and the pain that does to a man or a woman when that takes place? But notice here what he says. I won't have time to get into all of it here tonight because it could be a sermon in itself. He tells them that we have spoken freely to you, talking to the Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you. That's kind of paraphrased there. But pretty much what the Apostle Paul has said, he said, I've come, and even in the midst of all of this rhetoric, in the midst of all of this abuse, I've opened my heart to you. And I've been honest and sincere. Brothers and sisters, this is what I want to talk to you about here tonight. There's times in life that you are done wrong. You are spoken ill against. And somebody misquotes you. Somebody speaks ill against you. You're doing what's right, but somebody's treating you wrong. It doesn't give you the right. It doesn't give you the right to get bitter and to quit going forward in the body of Christ. You still got to have that love that is unfeigned, that love that is authentic. And I say, Lord, help me. I say, God, I could grow in this area. Amen. I could grow right here, dear Lord. I want to make sure, as it says in the book of 1st or 2nd Peter, that Christ, when he was reproached and when he was attacked, he did not retaliate. Amen. But he submitted himself to the will of the Father. I'm telling you, nothing feels better than when you sit back and you let God fight your battles. Amen. I'll share this with you real quick. And Brother Tom, turn the recording off just for a second. I've told you back in the early part of this, you is this. When you get treated wrong in life, you do not have to retaliate. Again, I've got room I can grow in this. I said, Lord, forgive me if I have misrepresented you at all in anything, in a conversation, in a word, around a table, or anything. But I'm glad to know here today, the Apostle Paul said, we've been faithful. We have not withheld our affection from you. We've loved you when you didn't love us. And the Bible tells us, when you are kind to those who mistreat you, you're heaping coals upon their head. Think about that. Every time they mistreat you, and you respond in a godly way, you're taking some coal and you're just putting on top of them. Amen. I'm not being vindictive, but amen. But amen, it's good to see every now and then when God does vindicate His people and His children and His church, that God gets the glory. And those who are the naysayers, let them say what they want, and let the potsherds strive with the potsherds, but let those go forward and do the will of God. Now, I don't have time to go through this here tonight, but in your own Bible study, when you look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and you get further in that chapter, you'll find that the Apostle Paul gives 10 accents of genuine love. He tells them that genuine love is honest, it is affectionate, it has fellowship, it is pure, it is humble, it is forgiving, it is loyal, it is trustworthy, it is praiseworthy, and it brings joy. That's what love without hypocrisy will do. It produces something in the lives of the believers. Point number three here tonight, in 1 Peter 1 and 22, I want you to see this with me. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Notice here, some would assume that once you get saved, you ain't got to do anything else. You ain't got to willfully participate. It's just all said and done. Just go to heaven and live any old way you want. Notice here he says this, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. He says, look, there's something you've done as well. I've forgiven you. I've justified you. I've cleansed you. Now there's something you need to do. What do you need to do? You need to obey the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Notice this. Of who? The brethren. I'm going to stop right there. Who is this unfeigned love for in 1 Peter 1 and 22? Who? The brethren. You say, hold up, Brother Derek. We are to love everybody, even sinners, with unfeigned love. Follow what I'm saying here. You know, you don't find a lot of verses in the Bible telling us to have an unfeigned love for the world. Actually, it tells us to love not the what? The world, talking about its system. But you say, Brother Derek, why is it so important that we love one another with an authentic, genuine, unfeigned love? I'll tell you why. You know what the world's looking for? They're looking for a church that is an example of the unfeigned love of God. Look, I can go out here and love sinners. Okay, but what am I loving them to? I'm loving them to Christ, yes. I want them to know the love of Jesus. But where can they come to find help? They must come to somewhere where there's men and women that are operating in the agape love of God Almighty. Notice what he says here. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Notice this. Fervently. Fervently. We ought to love each other fervently. Notice verse 23. Being born again. You notice that? This should be a fruit of those who are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. We ought to love one another without hypocrisy. Has anybody ever seen a church split before or witnessed one or endured one? Okay? I've seen them. You can see them coming. I've been places before that you can tell this is hidden. There's a rift. There's fault lines. This is going south. And everybody, many of them seem to know the answer. But why is it even a place where God's word is taught? Church is still split, right? And I'm not talking about over true doctrine. Sometimes there needs to be a split. When those who are wrong in doctrine and error have to leave, I get that. But I'm talking about over foolishness. I'm talking about over unforgiveness. I'm talking about bitterness. I'm talking about compromise. I'm talking about when churches cannot get along one with another. Where you got half the church over here saying one thing and half the church over there saying another thing. I'll tell you what happened there. Their love began to be hypocritical. Just like marriages. Many times a divorce is not something, I know it seems like it happens overnight, right? But how many knows there's usually some sort of warning? I know, now Hollywood, they get divorced so quick, I don't even get all, that's its own subject. They never loved each other. Amen. But I'm talking about those who genuinely fall in love, stand before a church and make a covenant and say their vows before God and people. And the sanctity of marriage. How is it that they end up divorced? Even those who attend church, I'll tell you what happens. Their love begins to be hypocritical. Hear this preacher tonight. True agape love is deeper than your feelings and deeper than your emotions. It's a choice. It's a choice. I choose to love. Sometimes in life, like the Apostle Paul, being done wrong, do you always feel like loving everybody emotionally? Sometimes your emotions can be conflicted, but you grab your Bible and you say, God, I want the Spirit of God to generate and work in me the agape love of God. I want to know, and you can feel God stand up in you and work in you. I'm not talking about the natural man and the natural feelings and the natural emotions. You've got to choose to love, and you choose to love each other, and you choose to prefer one another and to sacrifice for one another, even when it doesn't always feel the best. But when everything is said and done, it produces genuine joy and the life of the church and the believer. By way of closing here tonight, we know that Jesus first loved us. How many agrees His love was authentic? When I read through the Gospels and I read the interactions of Christ, I say, Lord, help me to be authentic as Christ was authentic. Amen. Did that mean that He never had to rebuke anybody? There's times you do in love, you still rebuke. But He still had an unfeigned love. He held nothing back. He died for us. And our love for our fellow Christians should be just as unfeigned. In fact, sincere, unfeigned love, the Bible tells us, is the identifying mark of a true disciple. Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. Our relationship to each other comes down to this command. Love God commands. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we can do this without hypocrisy, without feigning, if you would, then we are showing the world how Christ, the very source of unfeigned love, loved us. And I thought to myself when I was studying this, God, help me to have this unfeigned love. And let everybody else know about it. Stand to your feet here tonight. I want my wife to go to the piano. Thank you for being here and listening. We're going to pray in these altars. But as we're going to be doing and addressing and saying in the coming weeks, I know there's a lot of changes about to take place right here. But Abundant Life Tabernacle, God needs you to be a church full of agape love. But you, each person in this room, from each pew where there's a human being on that pew and your neighbor, you've got to choose to be obedient and you've got to love like Christ loves. Amen. How many says, Lord, help me? Can that be our prayer in these altars here tonight? Amen. Look, God's got you here at this church. You don't go nowhere till God moves you. God's called you to love each other right here. Amen. How many believes it? God's called you to love one another. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. You ought to serve these brothers and sisters right here among each other. Love each other. Amen. Find you a place to pray in these altars here tonight. Ask the Lord God, I want you to shed abroad, fresh and anew, the agape love of God in my life. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray for the future of Abundant Life Tabernacle. God, I know it may get heavy here in the coming weeks of transition, Lord. But what's going to keep this church? What's going to keep this church, Lord? It's going to be the unfeigned love of the saints. It's going to be husband and wives and children loving each other. Brothers and sisters looking across the church aisle. How can I serve my brother and my sister? Hallelujah. I want the unfeigned love of God to be working in me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Pray, church.